World War I years, the ancient lands of Mesopotamia. In the Kut region, along the shores of the Tigris, courageous Turkish soldiers put an unrelenting struggle against the British Army, one of the most powerful armies of the time. The Turks, whose homeland had been invaded by foreign occupation forces, made history on these lands with the power of faith God bestowed them.
During World War I, the Ottoman Empire was besieged from all sides. With each passing day, the empire was crumbling further as our lands continued to be seized. Turks were defending their homeland on four fronts in resistance against this all-out attack. Upholding the virtues of independence and defending their motherland above all, the brave sons of Ottoman did not allow the British, commanding one of the world's most powerful militaries, to pass through the Dardanelles. Having suffered a disappointing defeat in the Western Anatolian front, this time the British set their sights on Baghdad. But why did the British deem Baghdad so important? The British coveted Baghdad for its rich oil fields. Furthermore, if the British were to capture the Persian Gulf, they would have achieved total control over the seas and establish a direct connection with India, which was a British colony at the time. And of course, asserting dominance over the Arab tribes in the region meant a clear superiority for the British over the Ottoman Empire, which in turn meant gaining total control over the region.
The British Army invaded Basra on November 22, 1914, opening the Iraqi front. The British troops, under the command of General Townsend, began their advance towards Baghdad in July 24, 1915. In response to this advance, on September 28, 1915, the troops, led by Nurettin Bey, the general commander of Iraq, made a tactical withdrawal to Salman Pak, Ctesiphon region, 30 kilometers away from Baghdad. The British, unaware of the events that would unfold in the following 6 months, captured the city of Kut in a victorious demeanor in September 29, 1915. However, this invasion period would only spell the beginning of a disaster for the British Army.
Hard times were ahead for the British Army that had set up a military base in the Kut Alamara, which had been tactically evacuated by the Ottoman soldiers. The Ottoman troops mounted a counterattack, and on December 5th, they arrived before the city of Kut Alamara. Following violent skirmishes that lasted throughout December, on the day of December 27th, the British troops trapped inside Kut Alamara were completely surrounded. From time to time, the British troops would receive support to help break the tight siege. However, munitions and supplies provided over the river were falling short. The British Army was stuck inside the city, and the British troops were sustaining heavy losses in Kut Alamara.
The inevitable demise was close at hand for the British forces surrounded by the Turkish Army in Kut Alamara. If the siege were to continue any longer, the already miserable British Army would have faced total annihilation. At this point, the British spy, Thomas Edward Lawrence, who was employed by the British deep state in its shady deeds, only to come to prominence later as the Lawrence of Arabia, was dispatched to the region as a last resort. Lawrence of Arabia, a British spy in Kut Alamara.
In April 1916, secret agent Lawrence was sent on a classified mission to Iraq by the British Ministry of War to carry out an operation in order to rescue the 13,000-strong British force led by General Townsend that was facing a siege in Kut Alamara by the Ottoman Empire. Together with Colonel Beech and Aubrey Herbert, another British agent well-versed in Turkish language, Lawrence was ordered to offer an initial bribe of 1 million pounds to the Turkish general Halil Pasha, and he was to raise the bribe to 2 million pounds in the case the general would refuse. In return for the release of the British garrison under siege, Halil Pasha furiously rejected this offer of the British.
One of the major factors why the British deep state specifically chose Lawrence as the spy to bring the bribe offer to Halil Pasha in order to lift the siege of Kut al-Amara was his immense hatred toward the Turks. In his letter sent to Miss Ryder from Oxford on April 5, 1913, Lawrence would write the following on his animosity towards Turks. We exonerate glorious Turkish nation. As for Turkey, down with the Turks. But I'm afraid there is not life, but stickiness in them yet. Their disappearance would mean a chance for the Arabs, who were, at any rate, once not incapable of good government. The British Secret Service agent Lawrence carried all the telltale signs of the members of the British deep state, including his hatred towards the Turks. British author David Garnett, who wrote a biography of Lawrence, says that he was an arrogant person with a victim complex. According to Richard Aldington, Lawrence had pretentious egotism, was faked boastful, and a homosexual. In other words, Lawrence displayed the typical characteristics of the British deep state members. The British troops surrender at Kut al-Amara.
Resorting to all sorts of ways to end the siege of Kut al-Amara, including bribery, all the British deep state's attempts came to naught. And after the six-month siege, the British army finally surrendered to the Turkish army on April 29th. The division commander, General Townsend in particular, a total of 13 generals, 481 officers, and 13,300 soldiers were taken prisoners by the Turkish army. The defeat, which was reported by the newspapers as the greatest defeat the British suffered besides the Dardanelles, sent shockwaves throughout Europe. This marked the only battle in British history in which such a high number of soldiers were taken as prisoners at a single siege. The British historian James Morris describes the loss of Kut as the most abject capitulation in Britain's military history. This second Turkish victory in the World War I following the Dardanelles greatly boosted the morale of our soldiers across the country, who used their bodies as shields in the defense of their homelands against the enemy. This was such welcoming news, even the market value of the Ottoman lira went up.
The British deep state's method of pitting Muslims against each other. During the siege of Kut, the British brought reinforcements from one of their colonies, India, just like they had done in Dardanelles. These troops were mostly comprised of Muslim soldiers who were unwilling to fight against the Muslim Turks, their brothers in religion. On April 1915, soldiers from the 3rd Transborder Pathan Division of one of the Indian regiments openly expressed their reluctance to fight against Turks. On the eve of the siege of Kut, between July 17th and 19th, 5 armed Muslim Indians defected to the Turkish side. The interrogation of the Indian soldiers revealed that many Muslim Indian soldiers serving in the British Army were intending to defect to the Turkish side. The events that transpired during the offensive of Osman Bey Hill attested to the fact that Indian soldiers were being forced to fight against the Turks. The British soldiers opened fire after the Indian soldiers who sought to defect to the Turkish side during the charge. Over the course of the siege, 147 Muslim Indian soldiers took refuge in the Turkish region, while as many soldiers failed in the attempt. Those who had been unsuccessful in their attempt to defect to the Turkish side intentionally injured their right index finger to avoid fighting. General Townsend was infuriated by the fact that there were already 500 Muslim Indian soldiers falsely claiming to be sick to avoid fighting Muslim Turks at the beginning of the siege. This situation warranted a solution. Otherwise, Britain was about to sustain a heavy loss.
The British secret agents once again came into play to persuade the Muslim Indian soldiers, who worked in the British Army, yet received smaller salaries and food rations compared to their British counterparts, into fighting against the Turks. Many members of the British Deep State, among whom were British female agent Gertrude Bell, Agent Aubrey Herbert, and particularly Lawrence of Arabia, were in the region with the purpose of compelling scores of Muslim Indians to fight against the Turks. The British resorted to the same tactic they employed in the Battle of the Dardanelles, and in order not to risk the lives of their own soldiers in the tough conditions of war, they used the innocent Muslim Indians who had been conscripted at gunpoint. They even went as far as to change the name of the battlefields to psychologically induce the Indian soldiers. The British troops were preparing to advance from Assisi to Salman Pak. This place was home to the shrine of the Salman al-Farisi, one of the Prophet's, peace be upon him, companions who had fought alongside him in many battles. If the Muslim Indian soldiers came to know about this, they might have quit fighting against the Turks altogether. To forestall this, General Townsend renamed the city to its ancient name, Ctesiphon. The British deep state resorted to all sorts of deceptive methods to bring Muslim Indians, whom they had forcibly brought to Kutalamara with the aim of setting them against their Muslim Turkish brothers, and it caused the death of 23,000 Muslim Indians under the harsh conditions of war.
The Ottoman Collective, Islamic Spirit. In an attempt to bring down the Ottoman Empire from within, the British deep state pursued policies of instigating the Ottoman citizens against the central administration in Balkans, the Arabian Peninsula, and India. In this way, they would be able to deal with the disintegration of the Ottoman in a quick and practical manner, without having to put the lives of British soldiers in danger. By spreading radical nationalist propaganda among the Ottoman Empire over its vast area,